All right, everybody. Welcome back. Bio Bros, episode 11. This week, we're talking about common fish diseases. But first, we're going to do a bit of a update on what's happening with us just throughout the month. Just a couple minute quick rundown here. I wasn't very interesting this month. I did make a desk lamp out of one of those glass lamps that has the clear bottom on it. I turned that into a carnivorous plant terrarium. It's still in the works. I should have filmed it, but I didn't. Totally missed on that one. But it's super cool so far. So far, so good. It's working. That's really about it for me. But Alex did some cool stuff recently. If you follow us on TikTok, you might have seen it already.
Yeah, so I actually went to a reptile show near me this past weekend on a Sunday. And I wasn't expecting to get anything, just wanted to go to the show because I hadn't been to one in a minute. And I was like, I just want to go check it out. But as we talked about last week during the Felsuma episode, I was wanting to get into more different Felsuma breed, or not breed, species other than Grandis, because I currently breed Felsuma Grandis. And lo and behold, I found a pair of Felsuma Standing Eye that I just couldn't pass up on the price. It was way cheap, so I was like, all right, they're coming home with me. So I now have a breeding pair of Felsuma Standing Eye, and hopefully they'll start breeding soon. Currently, they're in a quarantine container slash temporary container until I get their final home built. But they are really cool species. I'm really excited to work with them, and I'm excited to have a new Felsuma species to work with.
Yeah, they're super cool. If you haven't seen pictures of them, check the Instagrams and TikTok. Pretty cool. They're good species. But back to the real topic of the day is common fish diseases. So if you have fish, at some point, they're going to get a disease. It's just, for some reason, how it goes with fish. They always get sick. Not always, but you're going to get that. So we're each going to cover a couple of the more common ones you see, what causes it, how to treat it. Basic general stuff, especially on these things, a couple of the later ones I have, you're really going to want to do more in-depth specific research because there can be several causes to these, some of the things that we call diseases. But I'm going to start off with the classic ick. So, about to butcher this name, but it is caused by a parasite called Ichthyophthiris multifilius. Okay, that's terrible. Nobody knows how to say that. It's just ick. All it is ick. Some people call it white spot disease, but it looks how it sounds. There's little tiny white spots all over your fish, and you might see them, your fish, like scratching themselves on rocks and things in the tank. Gross. Pretty obvious when you have ick. Now, this infects fish usually between temperatures of 68 and 77 degrees. That's where ick's the happiest. It can go lower, can go higher, but it can't reproduce above 85 degrees for the most part. A couple exceptions have been observed, but we're going to say after 85 degrees, ick can't reproduce. So a few ways to treat it are temperature too. If your animals can tolerate 86 or higher temperatures, then that is a solid way to treat ick, is crank up the temperature. And the ick will die after a couple weeks in that temperature. Other more, I guess, reliable forms of it and tend to be a bit safer on the fish because not all fish like to be that hot. Very few do. Essentially inducing a fever is formalin, copper sulfate, potassium permanganate, and salt. Ick hates those. Fish tolerate them. Quick thing to remember with all medicines is really the difference between medicine and poison is dosage, right? Medicines are made to kill things, just tiny things, not big things. So make sure you check all of your dosages, measure twice, dose once, that kind of stuff when you're dealing with medicines. A lot of stuff is toxic, but better for you than the disease. That's really all there is with ick. You'll see a lot of products that are labeled like ick X, ick away, whatever, all that stuff. just look for the active ingredients. That's what the main thing is going to be. Active ingredients and then dose accordingly. From those ones that I previously stated, like copper sulfate and potassium permanganate and all that stuff. Like, look for those. Don't necessarily trust the bottle right up. Alex, anything you want to add on to ick? Ick's super easy, in my opinion.
Yeah, it tends to be super easy, but it also, you do want to do what you can to treat it quickly, because ick can take over an entire tank and kill everything very quickly as well.
It gets around. But what's really nice about ick is it makes itself clearly known. It's,
yes.
Oh, you have it. Now it's just a matter of, are you going to actually treat it in time? Hopefully, yes. Ideally, you have medications on hand. Like, before anything goes wrong, you have some dosages. You know, you have your medicine cabinet in case you get a cold. Stock one up for your pets, too. Doc, what was your next most common disease that you're...
So the first one I'm going to go with today is going to be fungal infections, which a big one of those is, cotton wool disease. So it just looks like this, basically a cotton ball is forming on your skin, on the fish's skin. And it, the main thing that causes fungal infections and stuff is just either poor water quality, or your fish got a cut on it, or your fish is just not doing well in general. Basically, if the fish's immune system is kind of being lowered by any number of things, poor water quality, cuts, all that kind of stuff, there's a good chance for a fungus to come in and start taking over and just eating away at your fish, basically.
I'm going to interrupt you a little bit here for a second, just because I want to talk about this, because I had a pretty significant experience with it not terribly long ago. So I was keeping African cichlids outside in a heated pond. So during the winter this happened, it was heated. An issue happened with my heater, and the ponds got to like 45 degree water. So all of my African cichlids were clearly not very happy. They were laying on the ground on the sides, not doing good. So I catch them all up and I put them in a cooler full and start reheating that water slowly to get it there. And their immune systems had been compromised from that. So as they're heating up in there, I could see the fungus, like, I almost could see the fungus growing. It was the fastest and nastiest case I've ever seen of this wool disease. But the fungus is almost always in the water. It's just not a problem until your fish gets its immune system compromised or has an open wound or something like that. So just watch out for that. It's always there, almost always there. It's just looking for an opportunity to get you. All right, keep going.
Yeah, that's basically, if it gets the chance, it will take it. Pretty easy to treat, though. Salt baths is not one of the best ways. And this is using aquarium salt. Don't use your table salt. That will kill your fish. But using aquarium-grade salt for a salt bath, or using antifungal treatments that are commercially available, so things like Ickex or this is Maricin. I murdered that, I'm sure. Another one is methanol blue. Adding that to your water, it's going to turn your entire tank blue. You'll also want to take out the activated carbon when you are treating, because it will absorb your treatments, and then your treatment doesn't work anymore because the carbon's absorbed it. But again, not a super deadly or super serious disease, but like Shaw said, it's almost the fungus is almost always in the water, and if they get the opportunity, it will attach and start growing on your fish.
Yeah, and that doesn't necessarily mean live in fear of it, but definitely have fungal treatment available, because it'll sneak up on you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if you're keeping like cichlids with that, like, to fight. Somebody's gonna get hurt at some point. And even if it's not life-threatening, chance of fungal infection is pretty high. But yeah, so that was a good point on the was it activated carbon? Yeah, make sure you take that out because it will remove all your medications in the water. So I'm going to bring us into internal parasites. Now, this is not a specific one because it's really hard to tell what kind of specific parasite your fish has if it's internal. You can't see it, right, in the name. So there's lots of different symptoms and things you kind of have to look out for. It's bloat, erratic swimming, loss in weight, white stringy poop, which a lot of times is like a tapeworm or similar that's actually hanging out of them, clamped fins, all that kind of stuff. You'll hear people call it wasting disease sometimes. Wasting disease doesn't really mean anything. It can be a number of things, but you see them just start losing weight rapidly and not eating, or even if they are eating, they're not gaining that weight back. Lots and lots of different symptoms for internal parasites, and they can be kind of tricky to treat. You'll hear some people say things like garlic. I say once you know you have internal parasites, it's usually a pretty big deal. So I go straight to the good stuff. Active ingredients that you're going to be looking for are praziquantel or metronidazole. So those are what you're looking for. You'll see a lot of the things are like PraziPro, I think is what they might call it, at the store. Just look for those active ingredients and then follow the rules that the box tells you to. Different brands will have different strengths and things. And that usually will fix it. But again, like I said, depending on what kind of parasite it is, sometimes you see them and it's too late. It's getting bad. Good news is internal parasites are hard to get unless you've introduced them before. So right when you get fish, a lot of people will do a preventative treatment with some of these medicines or a little lower dosage of something less important.
Necessary.
Less drastic. That's what it was. Less drastic. Fresh imported fish, too, if it was wild caught, hit them with some anti-parasite medication right out the gate. Especially things like pufferfish. Freshwater pufferfish love to have parasites. They all have them for some reason. So just pre-treat them, and you're usually good. Usually in established tanks or with captive bred animals, you're not really going to get internal parasites. This is mostly a wild caught animal thing for the most part. So although they can be really damaging and hard to see until it's too late, they're a little rarer to get if you have an established tank.
Yeah, I would agree 100% with that. And also again, with the, like you said, with the pufferfish, if you buy a pufferfish, just start treating, because it's almost guaranteed that they have internal parasites.
Yeah. Especially, like, again, like, call back to an earlier episode, the wild caught versus captive bred thing. We even went over that. Like, in that one, it was more about reptiles, but same thing. Like, parasites are in nearly everything in the wild, and they're not usually a huge deal, but the stresses of being imported into captivity and everything usually let those parasites take over and it gets bad. So wild caught things, just quarantine, really monitor every little bit of their behavior. Either do a preventative treatment, or the second you even get a hint that there might be a parasite, start treatment. And then you'll be good. Once your parasites are gone, it's hard to get new ones unless you're adding in new wild caught fish that you didn't quarantine. So again, really damaging, but also easy to harder to get.
Yeah. So my second one that I'm going to be doing today is going to be fin rot, which this one is, I would say, in some species a little harder to diagnose, just because in some species like African cichlids or larger cichlids and things like that, where they're fighting sometimes, it sometimes will look like maybe they just got into a fight. But basically it's where it'll look like tears in the fins, or you might actually see a little bit of redness to the fins and things, where the fins just basically rotting away. And that's their tail fins, their dorsal fins, their pectoral fins, all of them. Again, a pretty easy fix. Normally, you'll want to just take the fish that has it out of the tank, put it in a hospital tank. Make sure there's no activated carbon in the filter again. And then you'll just want to treat the water for a broad spectrum with a broad spectrum antibiotic like erythromycin, Mellifix, or a commercially available fin rot treatment. It's a type of bacteria normally, and there's no like specific known bacteria that is causing the fin rot, at least not to my knowledge. But using stuff like erythromycin and Mellifix, which are just like a broad spectrum antibacteria or antibiotic, it should treat it and like clear up on the fish. And then basically you'd want to leave the fish in that hospital tank until you know the fin rot is gone and know that they're starting to actually heal and regrow their tail or their fins in general. And even if, depending on what kind of fish it is, you might want to just leave it in there until its fins grow back entirely. So,
yeah. And another thing I would say on fin rot is it's pretty rare in well-kept tanks. Your tank overall good conditions and water parameters and all that, it's fairly balanced, fin rot is very rare. The most place I see fin rot is in betta fish, specifically ones that are kept in bowls. And nothing in bowls shape. A large bowl can be just fine, but usually you see these little tiny bowls. They have poor water quality and they're not very mentally stimulating for the fish. And the betta fish with those really long fins, perfect candidate for fin rot to take place. And when they get really bored, they'll nip at their own tails. And now that's creating a wound. And now that bacteria can get in there and rot those big flowy fins clean off. So I would even add to treatment is just general good water quality. General good water quality seems to prevent it. Well, not a treatment. It does seem to prevent it. Not that it can't happen. It can happen to anything. Just where I've seen it, and I've never really dealt with it unless I got a fish that I already kind of had it. So, it definitely happens more often in bad conditions, I would say.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
All right, so I'll go into my last one here is dropsy. This one's the most broad of mine. Dropsy is a symptom, not a disease. So it's what happens when fluids build up inside the body cavities of your fish, and it will pine cone the scales out on them. You'll hear people say like pine cone disease potentially. They'll have, if it's not a prominently scaled fish or just have a big bloated belly, they'll have bloated eyes. Sometimes they might have issues righting themselves, something like that. And this is usually, like what I was going into with the fin rot, usually this is just caused by poor conditions in the tank. Usually if your water's gross and dirty, the fish is going to experience something like dropsy or fin rot, sometimes both. Doesn't mean that isn't a symptom of other things as well. Even just like the fish's liver not functioning properly, that could be a totally genetic problem that you had nothing to do with. But it is still a symptom, not a cause, which means treating it is really hard. So treating dropsy, you have to figure out what's causing it first. Test your water. Is your water clean? Okay, water's clean. Now what is it? All right, let's see. Did I introduce parasites potentially? Because internal parasites can cause dropsy-like symptoms. So is it that? Is it this? Go through the whole checklist of things that could be wrong until you find something that could be wrong and fix it up. And again, sometimes it could even be like liver. So it could be a genetic thing. It was just destined to happen. But usually it's about dirty water. If your water's gross, your fish will probably be getting that. Just start hitting those water changes. Start hitting them. it probably won't hurt to use a general antibacterial, something like that, in the tank as well, especially because the fish is now not in prime condition, so things like bacterial infections will come up a little easier on them. But yeah, dropsy is one you hear a lot of people be like, oh, my fish got dropsy, how do I fix it? Well, why does your fish have dropsy? And then we can figure out how to fix it.
Yeah, I've, knock on wood, never had a fish get that, and I hope they never do. Not fun.
Yeah, it is not fun. I've had a couple have it, and it's not a fun one because you don't know what's causing it. You know, you're like, what's wrong?
It can be any number of things.
Yeah, so many things it can be, and sometimes you can't find it. You have no clue what caused it. It is fairly rare for that to happen, though. Again, usually, like, the reason Alex hasn't dealt with it and the reason I've only dealt with it once or twice is because it's developed by bad conditions mostly. So if you keep your fish generally healthy, you're really not going to see this very often at all. But again, like, proper quarantine and all that will keep near all diseases out of your tanks. But you will get them at some point. Like, we've dealt with, I'd say, pretty much everything, right? Like, I've treated everything here, including Alex's last one. I know what it is. But yeah, I'll let him get into it in a second here. But I've treated every single one of these things in my fish keeping career, which is my entire life. But yeah, I've seen all of them. I've treated all of them mostly successfully. Some of them not. But if I had a resource like this, I'd treat more of them successfully. Like I said, with dropsy, you've got to figure out the cause first. And it can be any number of things that causes it. Start with checking your water, though. Definitely start with the just good old water test.
Yeah. So getting into my last one, which is probably, of the three that I have, probably one of the easiest ones to treat. At least in certain situations, it's one of the easiest ones to treat. It is swim bladder. Which swim bladder is just basically when... I mean, all fish have a swim bladder. It basically helps them stay upright and, like, orient themselves in the tank. It keeps them from floating to the top or to the bottom, things like that. It's when gas is filled, or gas fills up the organs of the fish, and it can be caused by a couple of things. Things that cause it are things like overconsumption, so like just eating too much, low water temps, bacterial infections, parasites, things like that. Which, again, depending on what it is, it can either be super simple to fix or it could be a little more difficult. Because if it's something like overconsumption, feed your fish way less for like a week or two and just don't feed them as much as you fed them before, because they can get bloated from eating too much food. So it could mean that you need to cut back on how much you're feeding, or like low water temps. You might need to crank up your temp a little bit, or you could be a sign that your heater's gone out and you just didn't realize it. Now when it gets to like bacterial infection, again, just use like a broad spectrum antibiotic, erythromycin, Mellifix. Both of those would work. And again, you'd want to do this in like a sick tank, because I can tell you, erythromycin and Mellifix, not cheap. So you'd much rather be treating a 10-gallon or a 5-gallon instead of treating a 55 or a 75. It'd be a lot cheaper. And it's also better for the animal. It's more concentrated for them. So bacterial infection that could be causing it, just treat with Mellifix or erythromycin, basically a broad spectrum antibiotic. Now, when it comes to parasites, same treatments that Shaw had talked about earlier. Basically, you'd be looking for treatments that are meant for internal parasites, reading specific ingredients, making sure you get that kind of treatments and stuff and giving that to them. Some of them you can mix in with their food, like frozen food, you can mix in there. And some you just put into the water. But again, probably one of the easier ones to fix. It can be a super common thing. I've seen it a lot in bettas. I've also seen it in goldfish and stuff a lot. And most of it comes down to either being fed way too much or low water temp. That's the two main things that seem to cause it, at least in my experience. Again, luckily I've not had anything get this, but it those seem to be the main things to cause it.
Yeah, the goldfish, specifically fancy goldfish, they have the same amount of organs as a common goldfish would have in a smaller body. So they get swim bladder very easy because their organs are all closer together. What I've seen that one cause from too is feeding floating like flake food, and then they'll end up ingesting air and it'll get in them sometimes. Another treatment, this one specifically for goldfish, I don't know where it came from or why people say it or really how effective it truly is, but feeding goldfish peas, like just green peas, seems to fix it. I've done it before. I didn't think it was real, but I've done it and it worked. I don't know if it's just a bit of luck, but I have heard of it. It's been a thing. Not going to back the science on that one too much, but appears to work. Last thing I want to get on, though, is the fish disease of general unhappiness. So a lot of times your fish will look sick or look bad because it just feels bad. It's not necessarily caused by a true disease, but let's say, for instance, all of your fish are up at the top of the tank and they're like gulping for air, it looks like, the very, very surface of the water. That is low oxygen content in the water. And that can very well kill all your fish. The reason they're up there is because oxygen exchange happens at the surface of the water. So that very thin layer at the top, that'll hold a bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Where, you know, when you fill water up over a cup and it has that little barrier on it, and so it'll go above the glass of water. That's where most of the oxygen is. So if all your fish are doing that, that means you need more oxygen content. And that can be caused by many things, right? Not enough surface flow that will increase the surface area of the surface of the water, meaning more gas exchange. Or it can be temperatures too. Hot water holds less oxygen than cold water. So check all that stuff. Be like, okay, wait. Oh, wow. My heater broke and my tank's 88 degrees. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense why they're all acting the way they are. Same thing for too cold. Why are your fish not moving? Well, it's too cold. They're cold. They're not wanting to be out and move. Same water conditions, things we even considered putting it in here as a disease itself was ammonia poisoning. In an uncycled tank or an improperly cared for tank, or even just sometimes things crash and ammonia will spike way high in your tank, and that'll burn the gills and things of your fish, and it is shows disease-like symptoms, but it's not necessarily an infection or anything like that. It's just general unhappiness, right? The conditions are just bad. So I want to throw that in there. That is a thing too. Your fish isn't necessarily sick. It might just be, unfortunately, your fault. It'd be an easy fix though too. Like, we've all had a heater go out and be like, why are my fish weird? And found out that's what it was. But thought I would throw that in there too.
Yeah, those are, again, like ammonia poisoning, super easy fix. Do a water change. And like a majority of the water change. And that's just something you guys stay on top of with like water testing and stuff like that too. So it's really preventable as well.
Yeah, so that's definitely something I wanted to put in there. More than any, usually when my fish are acting weird, the first thing I go on to is the conditions. Like, all right, what's wrong? What did I mess up?
Yeah. Right,
did I do this or that? Okay. And then once I see all of that, especially if all of your fish is another cue right here. If all of your fish start acting weird, usually it's something environmental. It's not a disease. If one or two fish are acting weird, the next day three of them are acting weird, might be a disease going around.
Yeah, if they're all acting weird at once, it's normally something you've done.
Yeah, and you might not even know you did it. You know, like I said, heater might have gone out. Now it's too hot or too cold. That's happened. Happened to me in my saltwater reef tank, actually, a few months ago. All my corals were just not looking great. All of them at one day. I'm like, what's happening? So I took water temperature. It was too hot. Sure enough, the heater wasn't wanting to turn off. So I caught it early. All good now. But yeah. So I think that puts a pretty good wrap on it for common fish diseases. As usual with this style of episodes, do your own individual research on your specific case. If you noticed, a lot of our diseases were very broad, right? I said just internal parasites in general. Fin rot in general. We don't know what's causing that. Or fungus infections. You know how many different kinds of fungus there are? Insane. So just because we said that this is a good medicine or a good treatment doesn't necessarily mean it is for every single case. Things get weird. Things get different. And these are not the only illnesses we have. There's some rarer ones or ones we just didn't think were as popular or needed to be talked about as often. So again, do your own research. But if I was to make a bet, I would say your fish probably has one of the diseases we talked about.